Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts with a look at California agricultural news. The California Dairy Innovation Center will be hosting spring and summer training programs for six processors, producers, dairy industry professionals, entrepreneurs, educators, and students, as well as health professionals. The courses, which have no prerequisites, will be held at a variety of California locations and are open to all participants. The schedule of courses includes Dairy Foods Technology 101. It will take place on May 30th in Novato, California. The course is free. It's an educational event that is open to all California dairy processors and end users, dairy entrepreneurs, producers, faculty, and students in food science, agribusiness, and related fields, as well as qualified suppliers to the industry. It is ideal for individuals who are early in their careers. The course aims to educate attendees on the intricate processes behind dairy products creation, from the fundamentals of milk production to key unit operations for fluid milk, cream, butter, cheese, cultured products, and concentrated or dry dairy products, as well as sensory science and food safety. Yogurts, fermented milks, and probiotic dairy products will take place June 20th and 21st at the UC Davis. It's a collaboration between the CDIC, UC Davis, Dairy Council of California, and the California Dairy Research Foundation. During the course, attendees will learn from leading experts who possess extensive experience and expertise in dairy science, nutrition, and food innovation. The course will not only cover the fundamentals of processing, but will also highlight the latest nutrition research and product innovations shaping the sector, market trends, and opportunities. And then advanced cheese making will be July 16th and 17th. This two-day practical hands-on course will take place at the Dairy Products Technology Center at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. The second annual Innovation Workshop and State of the Industry program will be September 12th at Fresno State University. And a Hispanic, Italian, and Mediterranean cheeses program will be October 8th and 9th. This practical course will feature international cheese varietals and will take place at the Dairy Products Technology Center at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. For more information on any of these courses and to register, contact the California Dairy Innovation Center. Congressman Jim Acosta, along with Representatives David Valadao, Alyssa Slotkin, and David Rouser, have relaunched a bipartisan Congressional Specialty Crops Caucus. The caucus is dedicated to highlighting the issues facing the specialty crop industry and building support for policies that allow U.S. specialty growers, processors, and partners to prosper by providing American families with safe, affordable, and nutritious foods, according to the caucus. Specialty crops include fruits and vegetables, tree nuts, dried fruits, horticulture and nursery crops, critical to the nation's food security, diverse agricultural landscape, and economy. Specialty crops account for more than one-third of the farm gate value and represent 2.2 million jobs across all 50 states and have contributed $120.6 billion in labor income to the American economy last year. California is the leading producer of specialty crops in the United States, both in quantity and diversity, with a total of over 400 different crops recorded. Fresno and Tulare counties are leading producers of specialty crops like almonds, blueberries, citrus, grapes, peaches, pistachios, tomatoes, and walnuts. A longtime champion of specialty crops, Costa has fought to codify the importance of the specialty crop sector in American agriculture through fighting to include horticulture as its own title in the 2008 Farm Bill. Costa previously served as co-chair and reorganized the Specialty Crops Caucus in 2013. In recent years, Congress has worked on a bipartisan basis to combat unreasonable specialty crop trade barriers, increase access to automation technology, and help producers break into niche American markets. The Specialty Crop Caucus is dedicated to building on this foundation and supporting the interests of specialty crop production. In addition to the co-chairs, members of the Specialty Crops Caucus include U.S. Representatives Shelley Pingree, Doug LaMalfa, Mario Diaz-Balart, Buddy Carter, Drew Ferguson, Rick Allen, and Jim Baird. New crop green bell pepper production has begun out of California. Everything is looking good. They've had some really good growing conditions this winter, and plants look really healthy, according to Jay Angelo of Bologna Farms. He says the peppers themselves have good color, and they're getting a lot of good, big sizes. They've seen some extra large and even jumbo sizes. He adds that sometimes the colder weather impacts the pollination. Red bell pepper production is still about 4 weeks away and should begin by the middle of May. The crop is starting slightly later than historical start times, which typically tend to be within the first 2 weeks of April. Industry production generally should begin within the next 7 to 10 days, and production will stay in thermal until the 1st of June when the crop transitions to Central California in the San Joaquin Valley. As for demand, it's good, and many customers are looking to switch over to the new crop already from Mexican product. The traffic's been a little tougher. Maybe they're loading citrus with their product, but there's demand to move to California, according to Angelo, adding that demand should strengthen as the supply of bigger retail-sized peppers from Nogales tighten up. So there will be both more supply and more demand from California. As far as pricing, similar to last year, he says extra large is starting at $20.95, choice at $12.95 on the other end of the range. Pricing might stay steady because there's nothing on the horizon showing that it might change, he says. Along with its bell pepper production, Bolonian Farms is also starting up with its chili crop from Baja, Mexico, and beans at the start of May in thermal as well. Farm Together has introduced a crowdfunded investment in the Great Valley Citrus Grove, situated in Fresno County within the San Joaquin Valley's Citrus Belt. This 56-acre property focusing on diversified citrus cultivation is accessible for investment with a base of $15,000, aiming for a 10-year period. The grove, located 19 miles southeast of Fresno, benefits from Fresno County's optimal agricultural conditions. It cultivates ruby red grapefruit and Caracara navels, both in high demand for their unique qualities and anticipated to be sold in the fresh market. The investment's viability is supported by a positive outlook on the citrus market, driven by increasing consumer demand for fresh, flavorful produce and a scarcity of prime citrus growing land in California. Water resources critical to agricultural success are secured through the Alta Irrigation District on 2 site wells, ensuring the grove's long-term productivity. By the end of the investment term, the grove is expected to reach peak production with several decades of economic viability ahead, potentially attracting larger-scale growers and investors due to its strategic location near other Farm Together citrus assets. Taylor Farms celebrates its 5th facility receiving Total Resource Use and Efficiency Certification, a third-party zero-waste certification from Green Business Certification Incorporated earlier this year. The TRUE certification program is used by facilities to define, pursue, and achieve their zero-waste goals while cutting operational costs, reducing carbon emissions, and encouraging cross-functional employee collaborations. The certification goes beyond diversion metrics and focuses on the upstream policies and practices that help make zero waste successful in any facility. Complying with TRUE's minimum program requirements, Taylor Farms' San Juan Bautista, California-based facility achieved an average diversion rate of 91.7% over 12 months. By following TRUE guidelines and exploring innovative solutions, the facility diverted 34,902 short tons of solid waste from landfills, incineration, and the environment. The Taylor Farms San Juan Bautista facility also utilizes various renewable and alternative energy resources to meet its sustainability goals. A newly developed microgrid project combines solar panels, batteries, and fuel cells into one integrated on-site power solution. The solar panels generate 1.9 megawatts of energy, with 2 megawatts of battery storage, and fuel cells generate 6 megawatts of energy. The microgrid will be able to power 100% of the San Juan Bautista facility, improving its resilience against grid outages while reaping financial savings.
By partnering with JCS Marketing Incorporated, your company can achieve 3.5 million impressions to growers, consultants, and industry professionals annually. Our comprehensive media suite, which includes prestigious publications as well as dynamic websites, targeted emails, engaging podcasts, and premier trade shows, provides a strategic platform for targeting key decision makers. This approach can amplify your company's visibility to a specific audience and fosters meaningful connections, positioning your brand at the forefront of the agricultural community. Don't wait for success to come to you. Call our office today at 559-352-4456. That's 559-352-4456. We don't always report on specific product releases on this show, but the recent expanded crop and disease approval for Simagro's ProBlad fungicide is noteworthy for a couple reasons. It's an expansion of a pre-existing chemical to blueberries and caneberries, so no need for multi-year research and development for a brand new chemical. And two, it's a multi-side mode of action which pays attention to resistance. Peter Bierma, president of SimAgro.
For fresh fruit crops, like caneberries and bushberries, growers are always looking for a strong fungicide. And with ProBlad being a multi-site, picking up a broad range of diseases, presently in California registered for botrytis, but outside of California, there's quite a list of diseases that it's effective on as well. So I think growers are always looking for new fungicides. And then secondly, with resistance becoming a concern for botrytis and powdery mildew, it's nice to have multi-site options to integrate into a program to forestall resistance.
Important to note is biochemical fungicides like ProBlad are not the same as other biological products. Biochemical fungicides do not directly stimulate natural growth processes within the plant. What this chemical does do is provide both preventative and curative activity toward disease.
In the biopesticide category, it's the only one that does have curative, preventative, and translaminar activity. So what we kind of talk about, it sits between a contact fungicide and a completely systemic fungicide. And then also with the curative activity, a lot of times you'll have expression of disease, and most of your preventative fungicides only prevent disease. If you have expression, you have a gap in your control program. So by being able to extinguish any disease that may have started and also get a good strong duration of control, it fills a lot of gaps. And that's kind of what we see with it as being very, very unique, that has reachback, curative, and translaminar activity. We had reachback activity up to 8 days. They could have run the trial for 10. So what that means is when the spore first initiated and started growing, we let it run 10 days, applied ProBlad, and it cured all the way back to when that disease initiated. And then the other thing in particular with powdery mildew or diseases that have haustoria that penetrate into the tissue, being translaminar, it'll go all the way through the tissue and stop the disease which may have entered into the plant. And most of your contact curatives, they surface kill, but they can't get the haustoria. And if you don't get the haustoria, again, it could come back from that point and reinfect. So that's kind of a definitive death, is what we say, is that if you spray it, it will take care of it on the surface and throughout the leaf.
Something also to note is the fungicide's exemption to maximum residue levels, or MRLs. In today's environmental climate, a chemical being exempt from stringent MRL standards is an advantage for any high-value export crop grower.
We actually, we've been registered in hops and apples and cherries, and that's becoming more and more to the forefront as markets get a little more tight. Growers always want to have the option to sell anywhere in the world. And being MRL exempt with ProBlad, I mean, you can use a full rate and the next day it's non-detectable. So it's also doesn't really have a residue that you can test for. And in addition to being MRL exempt, there is no restriction globally on the product.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Charlstrom.
Early registration for the 2024 Crop Consultant Conference, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors, is now open. The popular event for certified crop advisors, pest control advisors, grower applicators, and industry professionals is the mainstay for all continuing education needs this year and will take place on September 25th and 26th at the Visalia Convention Center. Visit myaglife.com/events for the early discounted rate of $275 per person, which includes the live conference, a trade show with 70 plus exhibits, first class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. We'll see you there.
USDA's April forecast for milk reveals lower production and in turn lower prices despite strong demand. USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
Continued adjustments down in milk production, part of USDA's dairy forecast for April. World Agricultural Outlook Board Chair Mark Jackanowski says the lower production forecast was minimal for this month.
We did adjust production down by 900 million pounds, just reflecting lower growth in output per cow.
Global and domestic milk product demand remains strong.
And the product that really stands out in terms of demand strength is butter. We're seeing strong imports of butter as well as exports of butter.
He adds demand is also reflected in recent product and class prices, as butter is the only product this month with an increased month-over-month price forecast.
All milk price, we lowered this month by 35 cents per hundredweight, so now it is currently forecast at $20.90 per hundredweight. That's almost flat with last year, up just 42 cents per hundredweight year over year.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
CNH Industrial plans to lay off over 200 employees at its Racine, Wisconsin facility and shift that work to Mexico. That's according to a statement from Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin. CNH Industrial, a manufacturer of agricultural equipment, intends to reduce costs by $150 million as part of a company-wide reorganization. Agricultural machinery has been made in Racine for over 175 years and made Case New Holland into an international manufacturing powerhouse, according to Baldwin, in a letter to Scott Wine, CEO of CNH Industrial. Moving production to Mexico is a slap in the face to the workers who have given so much, and it would destroy the institutional knowledge that the workforce has developed over decades. Over 1,000 United Auto Worker members ratified a new contract with CNH in January of 2023 after a strike lasted over 260 days. Baldwin questioned if this round of layoffs was retribution following that strike. Milk pricing is primarily determined through the Federal Milk Marketing Order, and USDA recently wrapped up a hearing which lasted several months. This is a significant issue that the National Farmers Union has been actively involved in, according to Vice President of Advocacy Mike Strands.
Farmers Union joined in a couple recent opportunities. One was on the Class 1 pricing formula, and then we also chimed in recently about having a better sense of the markets and the better sense of processing and pricing that goes on before setting prices for make allowances and things like that. And that was brought forward in a joint letter with Farm Bureau and Farmers Union just over the last couple of weeks, right towards the end of that federal order hearing process.
NFU and the American Farm Bureau Federation collaborated to gain a better understanding of market dynamics, processing, and pricing mechanisms before setting milk prices, allowing for more informed decisions and appropriate adjustments.
We watch to see what USDA does next through the Federal Milk Marketing Order hearing process. I will be ready to respond, react, and surely add some more color and context to it as it gets finalized and moved ahead in that order process.
Once again, Mike Strands, National Farmers Union Vice President of Advocacy. Six of the nation's major commodity groups have sent a letter to the U.S. International Trade Commission encouraging it to vote no in advancing a petition from Corteva Agribusiness. The petition asked ITC to place anti-dumping and countervailing duties on imports of herbicides 2,4-D shipped from India and China. The letter says the case continues beyond the preliminary stage. Farmers across the country should soon find it difficult to access critical supplies. In the letter, it says America's farmers cannot rely on a sole domestic supplier of 2,4-D to meet all of the needs. The University of Missouri's Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute recently released its outlook for U.S. agriculture. They project that American sugar production remains strong and is expected to grow despite challenges seen over the past couple of years. Those challenges include factory closures in Montana and Texas. Despite the new and existing challenges, the forecast is bright for American sugar production, as long as the farmers' safety net is strengthened, according to Dr. Rob Johansson, Director of Economics and Policy Analysis at the American Sugar Alliance. Most of America's sugar beet growers are planting their crops, while California's growers have started their harvest. Sugarcane producers in southern states are finishing their harvest. USDA is forecasting a near record 9.2 million tons of sugar will be produced in the U.S. this year, meeting about 74% of U.S. demand with domestically produced supplies. That would make America the fifth largest sugar producer in the world.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.